Well, we just finished hearing about life of a fictional restaurant inspector, and now we're going to learn more about the people who make sure your food and mine is safe to eat here in Wisconsin. Larry Mueller here for WPR. Great to have you with us. Carrie Paiola is our guest for the rest of the show. She's a food science scientist in the Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection's Division of Food and Recreational Safety. And as we talk with Carrie, I hope you'll join in with your own questions. What do you want to know about food inspection or food inspectors, or maybe about food safety? Maybe you're cooking for a big group of people soon, like I am this weekend, and wondering how you can prepare a meal that's is safe. Give us a call. The number is 800-642-1234. It's 1-800-642-1234. Or email us to talk@WPR.org. That's talk@WPR.org. Carrie Paiola, welcome. Thank you for taking time to be with us today.
Thanks for having me, Larry. I'm pretty excited to be doing this.
You know, there's a line in DATCAP's Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection's Food and Recreational Safety Consumer Information webpage that says food safety is everybody's job. It starts at the farm and ends at your table. So maybe talk a bit about your about that idea.
Well, first and foremost, I'm going to say safe food saves lives. We all need to remember that. As part of the DATCAP, the Department's Food and Recreational Safety Division, we do a lot. We provide oversight of all things food, whether that is your dairy, your manufactured foods, your meat and poultry products, restaurants, which is kind of what the book was based on, the old restaurant inspector. We also look at retail stores, so your grocery stores, your smaller retail stores as well. Thinking about going to a temporary event like the Wisconsin State Fair, we're out there doing inspections as well. We also encompass recreational programs, which a lot of people aren't really familiar with what a recreational program is. If you like to camp, we're inspecting, educating, monitoring safety at campgrounds, bed and breakfast establishments, lodging. This includes those home rentals on the short-term basis. I know VRBO and Airbnb have exploded. Swimming pools, those huge water parks down in the Dells, we're looking at those, as well as your recreational education camps. I do want to mention a lot of our jurisdictions do provide this inspection, the inspections on behalf of the department. And so then we, again, train and evaluate those inspectors who are doing those inspections. Wisconsin is a national leader in supporting the growth and safe operation of diverse food, lodging, and recreational businesses. And we do this by educating and regulating businesses in a fair and effective and efficient manner. So we do a lot.
You do. And I actually have a couple of friends who are now retired from DATCAP who were food inspectors. My one, I believe, worked in the sort of the dairy area, you might call it. And Jim worked in the, more or less the meats area. And so I know a little about some of the things that they did over their careers. Maybe describe a day in the life of a food scientist in the Division of Food and Recreational Safety. What tasks do you complete every day? It sounds like you might be involved in a range of tasks.
I am involved in a range of tasks, but I specialize in retail food. So those other gentlemen you mentioned were specialty in the dairy program or in the meat program. I specialize in restaurants, retail food stores, meat lockers that are retailing food. So what I do as a food scientist, and I used to be the boots on the ground inspector as well, I help train inspectors throughout the state that conduct those inspections. We also evaluate them, and we standardize those inspectors so that everyone throughout the state is getting a uniform-type inspection. So if I were to go in and inspect a fast food restaurant and somebody else on the other side of the state were inspecting that same type of fast food restaurant, they should be getting a pretty comparable inspection. So a food scientist, again, we're kind of technical experts, but a big part of our job is evaluating, training, standardizing our retail food inspectors that are out there, your boots on the ground in the field.
So, I don't know, what's the most rewarding aspect of being a restaurant inspector in your mind?
Oh, gosh. Some of my coworkers will probably cringe because they know this about me. I love a good puzzle. I love to really work with that restaurant that is having a difficult time, maybe following regulations, and really working through that kind of puzzle with them to get them on track. And I love those aha moments where you're talking with them and you're providing suggestions, and all of a sudden it's like the light bulb goes off, their eyes brighten up, and that really makes my day. I really love the educating and working through some difficult situations that we come across within retail food establishments.
Yeah, I can see where that would be a great thing. I was just thinking about my own career. One of the jobs I had many years ago was to deliver potatoes and produce to restaurants and grocery stores. And so I was in the kitchen of I don't even know how many restaurants over the course, 50, 60 restaurants anyway. So I was in restaurants where the kitchens of restaurants where I thought you could eat off the floor. They were so clean, and others that were not quite up to that standard. And so you might call the minimum standards that must be met. I'm sure it's not only having a clean floor.
A clean floor is a very small part of it.
Yes, I would guess.
So I know a lot of people see the surface type issues within a retail food establishment. CDC has actually developed or put out what they deem the five risk factors. So the five risk factors are those situations that if they are not controlled, they would directly contribute to a foodborne illness or outbreak. And those five risk factors, I preach them every day in my life, improper cooking, improper holding, approved source, contaminated equipment, and personal hygiene. So if you hear those five risk factors, you don't hear mention of clean floors at all.
No.
So people think of dirty restaurants. There's bare minimum we would like to see. We love cleaning and maintenance because that's going to help support a well-run establishment. But a lot of our inspectors, what they really focus on now, no more of the floors, walls, and ceilings, it's those risk factors that they're looking at that are really directly contributing factors to making people ill.
Yeah. And, of course, restaurants, I imagine grocery stores might be in the same sort of mode. I mean, you need to meet certain standards in order to be licensed, right?
Correct. You do. And, again, the guidelines or our administrative code that we set forth, those are the bare minimum guidelines that a facility needs to meet. So our regulations, what people don't realize, that's bare minimum. That is, if you're controlling it following these regulations, you most likely will not make somebody sick, and you will have a pretty well-run establishment.
So how often, say, does a typical restaurant get inspected?
Restaurants are actually required to be inspected annually. If they're conducting higher risk processing like lots of batch cooking. So they're making lots of food in huge batches and they're cooling it down. If they're doing what we call a special process, if they want to get a vacuum sealer and reduce oxygen package things, then we want to do inspections on those facilities more frequently. If it's a problem facility and they have lots of violations, we're going to be in there more than once a year. But your typical routine inspection should be happening at least once per year.
You know, there's some things that I was thinking of. One had to do with allergy information, things that are on menus, educational things. You know, somebody could say that a dish is gluten-free or maybe it's dairy-free. That'd be another example.
Mm-hmm.
Do you verify? I mean, are these statements verified by by DADCAP?
So, if something is already labeled as when it's coming in to an establishment as gluten-free or has some sort of claim to it, that's usually done by our manufactured food inspectors. So, those are the businesses that are wholesaling. When our inspectors are in, and I just want to add the newest, there was the big 8 allergens. There are now 9. Sesame has now made the list. So if you see sesame on menus or labels, you want to make sure they're indicating that as an allergen. What is required at retail is labeling. If they're going to package for sale products, they need to label and provide allergen information on the label. And there needs to be some sort of demonstration or working knowledge of the operator, manager, and staff of allergens, what allergens they may have in their establishment, and recognize effects or reactions to allergens.
Yeah.
So not quite as in depth as in our manufactured food world, but there are some basic requirements that need to be met at the retail level for allergens. Yeah, allergens are really, really, really scary. I've heard stories of a child at recess, goes to lunch, eats a peanut butter sandwich, goes to I'm from up north, the water fountain or the bubbler, gets a drink of water, and then another kiddo goes to get a drink from that same water fountain and goes into anaphylactic shock just from that little bit of contact from that kid probably having residual amounts of peanut butter on their fingers, and then that other kiddo goes into anaphylactic shock. So yeah, food allergies are pretty scary.
They are indeed. Can the public get access to inspection reports for restaurants, or how can they if they can?
They can get access to public or to inspection reports. I think the easiest way to do it is to Google Wisconsin Department of Agriculture. And then once you are there, you can search on our website. There's that little, usually they have the little search bars for restaurant inspections. It's going to bring you to the landing page where the link that houses the inspection reports will take you to find those reports. So then you're going to see a list of counties, and within the counties there might be city jurisdictions that are providing inspection services. You just have to drill down and find the area of the establishment. So a lot of our franchises might have multiple establishments within that jurisdiction, like a fast food or a quick service place. You want to make sure you're looking at the right for the address for the right establishment, but absolutely. We have those reports online. You're going to see the violations. You're going to see temperatures taken, sanitizers. So I think you're going to see notes. You're going to see a certified food protection manager who's certified or done that education to ensure safe food within that establishment. Mm. So, yeah.
I bet a little remiss here in not giving the phone number. If you'd like to join in, maybe you've got a question about inspection, or maybe you've got a food safety question, give us a call. The number is 800-642-1234. Email to ideas@wpr.org. We just finished talking with Alex Pickett about his great book, The Restaurant Inspector. Tomatoes played a role in the book. And tomatoes can cause some food poisoning. What do you need to know about growing and eating your own tomatoes?
And that is correct. Tomatoes are what we call a time temperature control for safety food if they're cut. So some basic things when you're growing tomatoes at home. You want to make sure that you're growing them away from runoff or areas of contamination. We don't want to see you growing tomatoes in old industry waste containers like 50-gallon drums that maybe had some sort of chemical in them. Make sure you're using only fertilizer soils and feeds intended for growing produce. Now, the real important thing in my book, what we oversee, is once you harvest those tomatoes, they can be stored at room temperature. However, once that tomato is cut, you want to make sure it's refrigerated and held for no more than 7 days at 41 or below. So you might ask, how do I know if my refrigerator is holding at 41 or below? You can buy some pretty cheap thermometers at your local grocery store, your big box store, probably Amazon. They hang right in there. Or you can get yourself a food thermometer and you can just set it in there or just check the food every once in a while. 41, you want to remember, 41 or below. My refrigerator at home operates at 38. I will tell everybody that's listening in. FDA and CDC, I think back in early 2000s, actually made cut tomatoes a TCS food because there were outbreaks associated with tomatoes. So we always think of tomatoes maybe having a lower pH. That pH is not low enough with that water activity, that moisture, that juiciness in that tomato to support the growth of salmonella. And I've had family members that have had salmonella. It's pretty scary. So when we're thinking of cut tomatoes, we want to make sure once they're cut, you refrigerate them, throw them away after 7 days. I also want to mention what a lot of people don't realize as well. This also applies to cut leafy greens like lettuce, spinach, cabbage, including red cabbage. Also your cut melons. You know, making sure to wash the outside of those melons really well. When I'm talking melons, honeydew, watermelons, cantaloupes. And finally, a lot of people get bumper crops of tomatoes. So if anyone out there is planning on canning tomatoes, be very cautious. Follow an approved process. Botulism, you don't want to roll the dice with botulism.
No.
So yeah. So tomatoes are... there were a lot of outbreaks linked to tomatoes. So FDA, CDC, the Center for Disease Control, they said, yep, we need to get some stricter control on cut tomatoes.
Helen in Appleton has a question. Let's go there. Hi, Helen.
Hello, Larry. Thank you so much for the show. I'm really enjoying it. Something that just popped into my head, I love a lot of the cooking channels, and I noticed so many of the chefs, when you're watching these programs, they're not wearing any gloves. There's no hair nets or any protective gear that way. They're sweating profusely, and I'm wondering if that's ending up in my food. And so I think about, well, when I go out to dinner, are the chefs in the back kitchen, are they wearing gloves? Do they wear hair nets? I don't see any of that anymore.
Yeah.
Oh, I love this question. And these cooking shows are the bane of my existence. Oh, my gosh. People poking at meats and everything else. No, in your restaurants, if it is a ready-to-eat food, they have to wear gloves. We do allow for bare hand contact in certain situations. 98% of your establishments choose to wear gloves, proper hand washing. We want hand washing between changing tasks, especially going from raw meat to or raw poultry or raw fish or raw eggs to your ready-to-eat food like a deli sandwich or something like cutting tomatoes or lettuce. Hair nets are required. If they're prepping, processing, they need to have hair nets on. Hair needs to be restrained. We get a lot of crazy questions about hair. Any hair needs to be restrained. Sweating sometimes is a little out of our control, especially in the summer months in Wisconsin. Kitchens get really hot. We just tell people to do their best. If they've got to wipe their brow, go remove gloves, wash hands, re-glove, and continue going back to work. So, yeah, the cooking shows, oh, my gosh, I watch them and I just cringe sometimes.
thanks so much for that question. And Cindy in Mosinee had a comment about bathrooms, I believe. Cindy?
Yeah, yes, I do. I'm a housekeeper. And when I go into an establishment and I use their bathroom, if the bathrooms are disgusting, more than likely the kitchens are too. So
you just leave.
I feel about it.
Yeah.
Cindy, that's usually what I tell people. Check the bathroom. It gives you a pretty good indication how they're keeping up with the kitchen. Yes,
but again,
bathrooms are required to be maintained per Wisconsin administrative code. So we want to make sure that bathrooms are maintained, that they're not a source of contamination.
Well, Carrie, we're going to have to get you back. Here we are out of time. We'll have to get you back to talk some more about this. There's a bunch of things that we didn't cover. But I appreciate your time today, and thank you so much. And hopefully we can do this again down the road.
And, Larry, I just want to put in a quick plug for our listeners today. If they're looking for information, they can DATCAP or they can Google DATCAP. Otherwise, they can go to datcp.wi.gov. That'll bring you right to our webpage, and we have all sorts of information on our website.
Carrie, thanks so much. Carrie Poyola is a food scientist in the Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection Divisions of Food and Recreational Safety. We'll get her back and we'll do this again. Thank you so much for listening in today. Tomorrow is Garden Talk, and Melinda Myers will be back with us to answer your gardening questions. So looking forward to that as well. Lots of fun today. I hope you had a good time and stay with us. Lots more in store on Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Larry Mueller.